Good evening, one and all. It is now 6:02. Today is March 10th, and welcome to the UDC Board of Trustees meeting. May we have a roll call?
Chair Session?
Here.
Present.
Here.
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 Dr. Jackson. Trustee Lopez.
Here.
Trustee Chairwoman. Trustee Carpoza.
Here.
Trustee Lazman.
Here.
Thank you. Well, first and foremost, I want to welcome.
Excuse me, President Eddington.
Oh, here. Sorry. Sorry about that, Mr. President. First and foremost, I want to welcome our new Firebird trustees. The good looking gentleman at the end of the table is Albert Kokoza. And next to him is that handsome lady. Amy Lednin. So we want to welcome them to the table. And good evening to all of my colleagues around the table. Good evening to President Eddington and to the senior staff in front of us, as well as the faculty and staff sitting in the audience. Of course, the participating public. So we're happy to have you all here. And I have been admonished that because it's hot in this room, I need to speed this thing along. So, before we get to the official business of this evening, as has become our practice, we want to, at each meeting, acknowledge a faculty member, a staff member, and a student. So I'd like to first acknowledge if he's here, Xavier Brown. I don't see him. Oh, is he here? Okay, come on up. As I make my way around the university, I always say that the more I explore, the more I discover. And I went east of the river to Anacostia High School, and Xavier Brown is the gentleman I discovered. He heads up a program called Dawn, D-A-W-N. He'll tell you what that means. But he's doing some great things over at Anacostia High School. So I thought it was appropriate that we recognize him tonight. And again, one of the things we want to do is lift up the people we never see, we never hear from, but do the good work that makes us the University of District of Columbia. So with that, I'd like to read, certificate of appreciation is hereby awarded to Xavier Brown in recognition of your support and commitment to Firebird Nation. Congratulations on the job well done.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Yeah. And please tell everyone a little bit about Dawn and what you do over at the Anacostia High School.
Cool. Thank you all. So I'm the deputy director of the Dawn Initiative, started back in 2022. I think we have some amazing programs kind of representing the university, east of the Anacostia River. We have an Apple coding program. We have an agro technology entrepreneurship program. We actually have our first farmers market coming up March the 21st, next Saturday. If anybody's in Anacostia, please come through. We have an early college program that's associated with Dawn. So there's high school students that are actually college students that's connected to the community college. We have internships, summer internships. The students just came out with a book last week. We were actually, our farm director was promoting the farmers market on NBC4 this morning. So you'll see that clip coming out. We have a bunch of stuff going on. We have kids going to UDC. We actually just hired a former Anacostia student who goes to UDC now. She's like a farm manager in training at the at the high school. So we have a tons of stuff. We have kids going to the Workforce Development College. We're like bursting with kind of talent and excitement and looking forward to kind of expanding and growing even more. So, yeah, thank you all. Thank you, Dr. Eddington, Chair Sessions, Patrick, you know, everybody. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. And that's for you. Yeah. And I believe next we'll, do we have a faculty member tonight? Yeah. Okay, come up and talk about them.
Can I just say something about Xavier? Chair Session. Can I just say something about Xavier? I think it's important to note that he's a D.C. kid, born and raised in D.C., a D.C. kid all the way through public school. Where is he? He comes from the most amazing D.C. family. Yeah, they're my neighbors.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah. I don't see Talessa Dexisa, Dr. Talessa Dexisa, but he was the faculty person who was to be honored. And he's an important part of our community. He does a number of things. But one of the things that he does is he runs the water testing center that does the water sample testing for all of DC. And so he has been a member of this community for an extremely long time. We have a certified lab on this campus that he is responsible for. And through that, he has grown a research program that benefits both faculty, staff, and students. But he's also responsible for the professional science master's degrees around water quality. And so he's been doing amazing work on this campus and just wanted to highlight him as one of our unsung heroes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Massey. And last but not least, I believe we're going to honor two students. Is Dr. Littleberry? Oh, there she is. Dr. Littleberry, please come forward.
Good evening, trustees and audience. Tonight we're going to honor some of our students who will be representing the university in California next month. They will be participating in the Honda All-Star Challenge. We hosted a competition here on campus in February. It was a fierce competition. We had eight other colleges and universities that were here on campus. They came from as far as Georgia, Cat Fisk University, York College out of New York, Morehouse, Morgan State, Bowie, some other institutions, but we had a great day that day. Just in the kind of trivia questions these students had to answer. I'm not smart enough. They're ready for Jeopardy. I'll say that. But our students performed so well that they were chosen as one of the of 32 HBCUs to attend the national competition in Los Angeles, California. And I wanted to highlight them for representing the institution so well. We have Mansour Musa. Don't know if they're here. I know Mr. Danzler is here. And forgive me if I mess this name up. It is Ijima. Come on up. This is one of our brilliant students who participated and performed really well in the competition all day that Saturday. The competition started at about 8:30 and they finished just before 7 p.m. that night. So it was a great tournament. And so the certificate reads, this is a certificate of appreciation. This certificate of appreciation is hereby awarded to Ijima
Azikiwe.
In recognition of your support and commitment to Firebird Nations, congratulations on a job well done. Presented by our chair, Warner Session.
Congratulations. I'll take this.
You're going to take that one?
Yeah. Okay. Would you like to say a few words? Come on.
Hello, my name is Ijoma. The competition was really fierce, and this is my first time doing this. And honestly, it was pretty scary, you know, because I've never done something like this, but I'm really glad I put myself out there. And I'm really grateful to our coach, Dr. Dantzler, because he was really helpful with preparing us for this competition. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now to the business of the evening. Do I have a motion for the approval of the minutes?
I'd also like to add that a correction to the minutes was submitted to reflect the addition of individual trustees' names identifying, moved, and seconded each motion.
Thank you, Fanika. Who made the motion? Trustee Grossinger. Second. Trustee Aikens. Is there any discussion? There being none, I call for approval of the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries. Thank you very much. So we'll move right into our action items, which are at problem number three, the Academic and Student Affairs Committee. And I will turn it over to Dr. Barazzoni.
Thank you very much, Trustee Session. May I have permission and from you and Council to ask to block the agenda into three chunks for separate discussion as three discussions rather than however many eight or nine. So do I need to, I move permission to break this discussion into A, B, and C, which are administrative organizational matters, and into D, E, and F, which are new initiative matters, either the creation of a new structure for organization or a change in the innovation, a new academic program. And then finally, the discussion of honorary degree recipients to be the third.
Thank you. Proceed. So,
do we need a second for that? Is it okay?
Go right ahead.
Thank you. So we'll begin with discussing academic and student affairs items that are transfers, purely transfers. The transfer of the BS program in community health and sciences to the College of Arts and Sciences, the approval for recommendation for the approval of the transfer of BS and MS programs in nutrition and dietetics to the College of Arts and Sciences, and finally, the approval of the transfer of the RN to the BSN nursing programs to the community college. I wonder if Provost Massey would like to say anything about these reorganizations. They're made in the interest of intellectual propinquity and good collaboration for programs, but would you like to add anything to this? Pardon me? You're satisfied. Go ahead.
Okay. I can provide brief summaries, but I am available to answer any questions that anybody may have. Quickly, the Community Health Sciences program is a brand new program for us, and it aligns seamlessly with the Science Foundation that operates out of the College of Arts and Sciences, but also has good resonance with programs at the bachelor's degree and the master's degree inside of CAS. With some advocacy from faculty, we made a decision to look closely at the program and where it was best supported and the best opportunities to align it with pipelines into and through to next levels of education. And that was a principal set of factors leading to our decision to bring this opportunity before the board. The BS and MS programs in nutrition, they originally rested in the College of Arts and Sciences and moved to causes when it was stood up new. the science basis for nutrition programs, rest in arts and sciences, and the peer network that supports the work of nutrition and dietetics, rest inside of arts and sciences. And so we wanted to give the program opportunity for its best, not just collaborative efforts, but opportunity to be planted firmly and fully sustained. The programs are newly accredited, some new elements built in, and so we're really excited about the opportunity for growth, but also partnership in terms of an interprofessional collaborative environment that will exist for them inside of the College of Arts and Sciences. And last, but certainly not least, the movement of the BSN nursing RN to BSN to the community college. We have been in conversation about nursing under one head for about 2 years and looking very intentionally at the best ways to support nursing and to use the available resources that we had for its leadership. The current director of nursing sits inside the community college. We visited a couple of programs around the country. Dr. Eddington took a group of us to Ohio to look at Lorain County Community College. And we have found a number of models that have all of nursing resting within a community college structure and moving so quite successfully. And so in an effort to better use the resources that we have available to align the programs, give students best opportunity to move seamlessly between them, we are making the recommendation of the movement of the RN to BSN to the community college.
Are there other comments or questions about these proposed transfers? If not, Mr. Chairman, now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia hereby approves the program transfers, those transfers of the BS program in community health, of the BS and MS programs in nutrition and dietetics, and of RN to the BSN program transfer, effective this summer, I believe, all of them to take place this summer. Do we need a motion for the approval then for this resolution?
Just, as you move forward in resolutions, you should do the motion, move the resolution in second, first, and then discussion. When I let out a sequence, but go ahead.
Okay, next time I'll do the motion first. But would anyone like to make that motion? I'll make it. Can I make it? All right, I make the motion that we approve the resolution for transferring these three programs. Is there a second? Thank you. There's a second. Would you like to have a roll call vote, or can we vote by voice?
No, we're in person, so we can.
Okay.
So call the
Question.
Call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. The next three are the new initiatives, and they are UDC Online, UDC Division of Workforce Innovation, and the AS degree in paramedics. That's the associate's degree with certificates. I move approval of all of these programs. We will vote on block, but discuss separately on those three as well. So, Mr. Chairman, I therefore be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia hereby approves the establishment and augmentation of the UDC Online in accordance with the proposal before the board, as well as the approval of the Division of UDC Workforce Innovation, and finally, the Associate of Science in Paramedics with its two related certificates. I so move.
Been moved. Do we have a second?
We're going to have some. This is in order to get the motion on the table. That's all.
We have to be moved and seconded, and then we'll have discussion.
Moved and seconded that we'll talk about.
So I need a second.
I'm stumbling for that. Thank you.
Second. Okay, yes. David Croom seconds. Discussion.
I'd like to begin, if I may. by speaking briefly about these, and I ask Provost Massey to correct me where I'm wrong, but also pick up there. But I would like to say from the perspective of the committee discussion, things that I hope will provide some confidence in my colleagues. UDC Online is a tremendously important program, I believe, for the future of the institution. During the pandemic, like many institutions, UDC learned and did a great deal online academically. So can you not hear me? Okay, thank you. So is that better? Can you hear me now? I apologize. During the pandemic, like many institutions, UDC learned and did a great deal online academically. What's being proposed now is to take existing online programs, the BSN, MS in cybersecurity, and use them along with some currently envisioned ones that is yet to be created in liberal studies and in the Masters of Social Work as the foundations for programs, as the foundation of a new division called online learning. More programs will follow. The opportunities this represents for the university and the students is stellar. We've long known, but our students struggle with the competing responsibilities that most of them have. And to have this learning convenience available will help them, as well as the university and enrollment growth, I believe. Costs for this are modest. New funds are available through Title III HBCU grants, and the intention is to redirect existing and vacant positions in order to have more resources available. The unit will be in place and fully operational by 2029. It will be a startup at this time, but it should be throwing off revenue by 2029. Would you like to say anything more, Provost Massey, before I go on to the next one?
I will.
Yes. Now, with that lack of encouragement, please go on.
Thank you. I only wanted to add that it's important to note from the strategic plan that the online unit is an essential component in the build of an enrollment pipeline for the institution. And so I just wanted to add that.
Yes, thank you. The next program that I would like to say a couple of words about, if I can find them, is about the creation of a new division, the Division of Workforce Innovation. Think of it as a reimagined way to provide workforce education that is aligned with industry needs and works with beginners through established professionals in continuing professional education. Would you like to say anything more about that? I think I have some more. Yes, let me say one more thing. We were assured that having a special unit with the oversight of workforce development does not mean that the university is abandoning its overall commitment to student work preparedness. It's not simply the students whose programs fall under that division. And this unit will be responsible also for monitoring and reporting on the success of the university's workforce activities. The proposal passed, and we now present it for further discussion.
The only thing that I would add, I think that it's important to see that there are direct lines to the strategic plan in terms of the role mm-hmm. of workforce innovation. And since Dr. Eddington's arrival, we have seen a strong intentionality around expanding the ways that we have viewed workforce and that we have used the opportunity on the campuses that we have around the city.
Thank you for that. And the last program in this innovation area, the last initiative for today, is the Associate of Science program in paramedics with two certificates and EMT and emergency medical technician. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'd never known what EMT stood for, emergency medical technician. I've lost my track here. Oh, yes, the second being a certificate for paramedics in general, EMT emergency. There's high demand in the district for the programs in paramedics and paramedic care, and the projected costs are far less than the revenue in a few years out and of great importance to the region. This is very healthy, if you will forgive the pun, and a step toward greater engagement in the health sciences with more programs and a personal hope one day a division of the health sciences. So, Provost Massey, do you want to say anything about this one?
I just want to say that DC Fire and EMS has long been interested in partnering with us in this way. And so at the top of the list of people who have really worked to make this happen are President Eddington and Chair Session, who really did the work of bringing the parties to the table. But I want to thank, and she is here with her team, Dean Marilyn Hamilton. If she would stand up with the new director and the team of people responsible for the building. And I think that they would all tell us the need is great in terms of having well-trained paramedics and EMTs because it's a need that we're all going to have. And so I just wanted to add those pieces.
Thank you for those pieces. And having close experience with health sciences in my own career, I know that they are enormously important to the programmatic growth of the institution. So thank you for bringing these forward. So, Mr. Chair, would I move approval of these programs and their creation and the innovation in the new division and would ask if there's a second.
Clerk, discussion.
Yeah, we'll have the discussion after the.
I move and second it.
I'll second then.
No, it's no. Already.
Thank you.
To go discussion.
So I would like a moment if. So I'm going to ask questions probably more so around the UDC online and workforce piece. But it would be great, President Eddington in particular, if you could talk about how you see UDC Online and those sort of workforce transformation piece connecting to the strategic priorities of the institution.
Thank you for that, Trustee Kroom. Yeah, so when you look at the goals in our strategic plan, we have goals obviously around enrollment growth, student success outcomes, and so those ambitious targets that we set were based on a number of overlapping strategies. And so one set of strategies has to do with online education, expanding course offerings via the online modality to give students more flexibility for when, where, and how they enroll, targeting additional student populations via the online modality, such as adult learners, growing and expanding fully online programs like cybersecurity and others. And so the enrollment growth strategy connected with those target goals are built around strategies such as growing online education. So we have what we call an enrollment growth plan, and it has a bunch of different strategies built into it, and this is one of the pivotal ones. And so us setting up this administrative structure is intended to put more focus and more energy around moving down that path of growing online programming. And then when you think about workforce innovation, we've talked a little bit in these meetings about a new and expanded vision for workforce development at UDC, which we describe as workforce innovation. And at the heart of that is transitioning from a focus around a particular job training program, which is one piece of the UDC portfolio, to having a more institutional-wide comprehensive approach for workforce. And so workforce innovation, where we connect our degree-granting programs, two-year programs, four-year programs with job training, where we lean into employer partnerships similar to the recent DC Tech Hub that we launched with Accenture, but leaned into that type of model and taken a different approach to really be more impactful in how we do two particular things. One is how we provide district residents with opportunities to drive economic mobility, close the household income gaps across the city for certain populations by educating and training them and putting them on the pathway to high demand, high wage jobs. And then the second part of that vision is meeting the district's workforce needs, right? Really being more focused around addressing the employer needs in high demand fields. And so those guiding principles are what's behind this, which is one of our first steps, which is saying we looked at what we had, our programming, we looked at our organizational structure, and Dr. Massey and her keen vision and approach said, you know what we need to do? We need to take these two functions, workforce development, lifelong learning, and continuing ed, and really combine them because they have similar focus. But this is a first step in building on a much broader foundation, some of which I'm going to talk about in my presentation to give you another side of that. But to your question, both of these are strategies that are going to allow us to continue to grow and meet the needs of the residents in the district.
Thank you. And then one just follow-up question is probably to you or to Provost Massey, but it sounded like with the UDC online, starting with, I think, a BSN and MS and cybersecurity was kind of the first step. So basically kind of like it's going to start narrow and then scale to other credentialing. Is that kind of the model?
Okay. Yeah. I'll add one piece, and I don't know if Dr. Massey wants to chime in, but one of the things we want to do is get started and do it right. And so, and actually I heard her say this to me, right? She said, we have some programming that's been improved. We need to focus on getting our cyber program launched fully online, get that in place, put the right infrastructure around to support the faculty, the staff, and the students, and then grow, right? And so I think that's the strategy. I don't know, Dr. Massey, if you want to jump in.
Amy, go right ahead.
Oh, thank you. I was glad to hear the get started and do it right. I was really excited to see in some of the background materials the work with Quality Matters to help make sure that the online programming is of high quality. And this may have already been in the materials. I may not have seen it. Are these homegrown online programs, or are you contracting with an OPM, an online program manager, to do these programs? And depending on the answer to that, I may have a follow-up question.
So the programs that have already been approved, homegrown, but we are also entertaining that there will be some things that we may actually sample from an external source.
I don't know where the appropriate venue is. One of the things I would just caution is some of these online program managers, they have very predatory contracts, and they end up sort of promising that they will pay a lot of the upfront costs, and they do, but they end up really sort of being extractive at the end. So that's just a thing to be mindful for, and it looks like you already are. And then the other question is in terms of data collection around how the students are doing, because as we know that there's this great opportunity to expand, but we want to make sure that it's done well. And some online programs are harder to do than others. So how are you thinking about monitoring and tweaking the outcomes for students in these online programs compared to the face-to-face? And then I'm done.
Yeah, and let me give you a more general answer, and then I'll pitch it back to Dr. Massey. And what I wanted to share, and I appreciate what you said about the predatory nature of some of these entities. But what I wanted to share is, some of you may recall that I had mentioned previously that we had engaged in some discussions with Arizona State University. And the president, Michael Crow, he came to visit me, talked about, you know, everything they've done, right? And they're the industry leaders in this space. And then he invited us to his campus. And so I took several team members. We went to Arizona State, spent 2 days there. The relevance of that is to this conversation is that one of the things that we're currently discussing with them is not finalized, but they're willing to help us think through our online approach, right? Obviously, as an institution that has 100,000 online students, So I'm just sharing that to say, as an example of one of the ways that we are proceeding with thinking about how to ensure that we do this the right way, is that we are currently in some discussions with them. I'm not saying that would be the final result, right? But it's a possibility that they'll be one of our partners.
I think the only piece I would add to that is that because we have been in the game of delivering coursework online for some time, it's not new to us in terms of the markers that we need to set locally. So we look at best practices nationally, but we also have had a responsibility to identify for our campus what really demonstrates success. So we can look at the big things like retention in a course, midterm grading, final outcome, ability to translate that information to the next course above it. So those things we've been paying attention to. We can look at DFW rates. We're looking at all of those things, but we're working really very hard to make sure that we're looking at this from two sides, the student success, but also the success of faculty in delivering the online content. Yep.
And one additional thought that Dr. Massey prompted, as I should have shared. So one of the things about Arizona State that excited our team is their data shows, and they're very proud of this, that their online students perform just as well, if not better, than the traditional students across the board in all disciplines, right? And they have some hard STEM courses, engineering programs online. So we said, hey, you know, they've demonstrated that there's no negative aspect in terms of student learning. In fact, they think you can do a better job in the online space. Right? So another data point that speaks to why we're considering moving in that direction.
And I would offer, just one thing, before we move on to another topic, that we could have very close connections with Southern New Hampshire as well, SNHU, which is also a completely non-predatory setting, very true to its traditional liberal arts college values that has mushroomed with online learning. So if you want a comparison, it might be a good idea. You could speak to them. But SNHU is fantastic. So I'm Arizona State is. So thank you. That's what I meant to say. Yes, please.
Yes, I just have one question about the paramedic program.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a tremendous opportunity. But I wanted to understand, the proposal indicates that the cost, the tuition would cover roughly 50% of the anticipated extra cost.
Right.
Where's the other 50% coming
from? I'd like to address that, Dean Massey. It's so wonderful to be able to pass off the tough questions.
And I'm going to pass off too. So, Dean Hamilton, would you step up, please? Because there's a partnership with the city to help to fund some parts of yes. this. I don't know exactly the percentages, so I'm going to let her answer for me.
Marilyn Hamilton, Dean of the Community College. So when we did the financial impact statement, we realized that once we cost the tuition out, because there was at the community college, the tuition that's being charged does not cover the entire amount of the actual cost. We're going to look at those numbers again, because a lot of the original investment was done by a grant from DCFEMS. So as we go down the road, we may have to focus on one of these programs to be charged a different tuition rate, similar to what the engineering sciences do right now. So that's where we said in the beginning, we need to consider the cost very carefully because of that 50-50 expense that we'll have to bear. I hope that answers your question somewhat.
But you haven't identified yet specific sources for that extra, the additional 50%.
The 50% is really on the maintenance of the actual cost, I mean, of the equipment and so forth. The original investment was $2 million. So as we move ahead, we have to look to other sources of funding, be it through Title III or through CTE, which is the Career and Technical Education. If we had, the program had to bear those costs by itself, 100%, it would not be able to do so. It was just us trying to be very transparent.
Any other, while she has the mic, any other questions for Dean Hamilton? Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on this agenda item? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? There being none, I'll call the question. All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, this is marvelous. We've gotten through six agenda items already. That's super. The last agenda item that we have is the approval of nominees for honorary degrees. And Mr. Chairman, in accordance with DCMR regulations, we propose to close the meeting at this point. For further discussion, I make a motion to close the meeting at this point for discussion of in accordance with the DCMR regulations. Is there a second? Thank you.
The honorary degree programs.
I didn't read the be it resolved. Forgive me. I'm still new at the be it resolved.
I hear you.
Well,
we need to have a motion to consider the honorary degrees. Yes. It needs to be seconded. And then you can move to go into executive session.
I move approval of the honorary degree recipient candidates. Is there a second? Thank you.
Moved and seconded.
Move the question. The question. Call the question.
No question.
I don't get this straight one day.
I move to close the
other institutions are very difficult for me. I now move that we adjourn to a confidential session in accordance with the DCMR. And do it right.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. And let me read the specific section of the DCMR.
I don't know that I have it. Perhaps yeah. Council would read it.
Okay, we'll take the vote first. General Counsel said we take the vote first. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? There being none, the motion carries. In accordance with DC Code Section 2-575B7, paragraph 7 and 10, to discuss the employment, assignment, promotion, performance evaluation, compensation, discipline, demotion, removal, or resignation of government appointees, employees, or officials, or public charter school personnel, where the public body is the Board of Trustees of a public charter school, to train and develop members of a public body and staff.
The correction is we're going into executive, I gave you stuff.
Look at it.
Go into executive session to discuss honorary degrees pursuant to that.
So we're going into, to be clear, we're going to executive session to discuss honorary degrees pursuant to that DCMR section that I just recited. So we will recess to a room to go into executive session. 213.
Trustees, if you follow me, I'll show you how to get there.
The board is coming out of executive session, and we will resume the matter that we took up before we went into executive session. So, Madam Barazzoni, please.
Thank you very much. I would like to place in motion an amended motion for the board for the conferral of honorary degrees, if I may. And the motion reads this way: conferral of honorary degree upon local government leader. Now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia hereby approves the recommendation of awarding the honorary Doctor of Law degrees with all the honors, privileges, and duties pertaining to a local government leader forwarded to us. The conferral of honorary degrees, second part, upon DC community leaders. Now, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia now approves the recommendation of awarding the degree of Honorary Doctorate of Humane Letters with all honors and privileges and duties pertaining to upon DC community leaders.
We need a second to the amended motion.
I second the motion.
Been moved and seconded.
Call the question, please, unless there's discussion.
Any further discussion? I call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Thank you. Okay, so I think that concludes the Academic and Student Affairs Committee agenda items. So we'll now move to the Executive Committee, and we have one resolution, and that's for the appointment of an interim vice president for facilities and real estate management at the University of District of Columbia. I will just read the therefore clause. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees ratifies the approval of the Executive Committee's appointment of Mr. Alex Garrett as Acting Vice President of Facilities and Real Estate Management of the University of the District of Columbia, effective January 12, 2026. Do I have a motion? Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees ratifies the approval of the Executive Committee's appointment of Mr. Alex Garrett as Acting Vice President of Facilities and Real Estate Management of the University of District of Columbia, effective January
12, 2026. So
moved. Second.
Do I have second?
Yes, second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? There being no discussion, I'll call the question. All in favor? All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, the motion carries. Thank you. We will now move to the Operations Committee. Dr. Rudd.
Good evening, everyone. The Operations Committee is presenting two resolutions for executive appointments tonight. The first is appointment of Lakeisha Jordan as Vice President for Government and Community Relations at the University of the District of Columbia. I move that we accept this resolution. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of the University of the District of Columbia approves the appointment of Lakeisha Jordan as Vice President for Government and Community Relations effective March 23rd, 2026, consistent with the terms and conditions of her appointment letter.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? I call the question. All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions?
Yes, one.
One abstention, Dr. Rudd. Yes. The motion carries. Congratulations, Lakeisha.
The second resolution is the appointment of Stephanie Johnson as Vice President, Chief Contractor and Procurement Officer at the University of the District of Columbia. I move that this appointment be made. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the board approves the appointment of Stephanie Johnson as Vice President, Chief Contracting and Procurement Officer, effective April 6, 2026, consistent with the terms and conditions of her appointment letter.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Second.
Been moved. I think we had a second from Mr. Akins. You even a third. Let me just take this opportunity to repeat, Dr. Rudd, what I said in the committee meeting, and that is acknowledging the incredibly efficient process by which this search was conducted. We hired the search firm of Greenwood Asher, Sean Cilio sitting in front of us at the table.
conducted and managed and prosecuted that from beginning to end. We were all informed. It was transparent. It was a good process. And let me say that I was encouraged by the fact that we had some incredible candidates. And I had the privilege of being able to participate in the shortlisted candidates. And I can tell you without hesitation, as someone who has a policy and legal background in procurement, we got the best in class. So you all should feel confident about the process, about the leadership. Thank you, Sean Cilio. And I'm absolutely certain that Ms. Johnson can hit the ground running at a very critical time in the evolution of the District of Columbia, University of District of Columbia. So if there be no further discussion, I call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. We're moving right along now. Okay. So the next item on the agenda is the report of the chairperson. I just like to make some quick observations as the night is getting long. So let me just say first and foremost, for those of you who did not have an opportunity to participate in the gala, you really missed something. And it was extraordinary from beginning to end. I want to acknowledge Dr. Lucas and his team. And Dr. Lucas, is there anyone in particular you'd like to identify or point out as part of your team? Okay. Okay, so we can defer to that, but I just wanted to acknowledge the tremendous turnout, the excitement. I'm still getting accolades about that gala, so job well done. The second observation is last week or maybe the week before we had our performance oversight hearing in front of the district, in front of the district council, District Columbia Council, and went very well. So I want to acknowledge the hard work that goes into preparing for an oversight hearing, particularly in front of Chairman Mendelson, who can be nitpicky about everything. I can say that because he's a friend. But thank you, Dr. Addington, and to your team for putting your best foot forward. The second thing is related also to the council, and Ms. Jordan, you're very aware of this. We're about to go into budget season. It's expected that the mayor will send her budget over on April 2nd. And I am going to organize and I already have reached out to the budget director, Jen Budoff, to give us a briefing on this year's budget. I had the opportunity to sit through a recent briefing that she gave to the DC Chamber just yesterday. The Chief Financial Officer, Glenn Lee, gave a presentation in front of the Federal City Council. There's a lot to this budget. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be a lot of give and take, and it's important that we understand the context in which we fit in this overall budget debate. So you all will be hearing from Fernica about dates and times that we can participate in this budget briefing, and hopefully we can get everybody involved in that because it's so important to the future of the University of District of Columbia. So the last thing I'll just say, and we got a hint of it when I brought Xavier Brown up, but I've been spending a lot of time with folks over at the Causes, the College of Arts, art, agriculture. I said arts. I'm thinking of Ken Grossinger when I say art. Agriculture, urban sustainability, and environmental services. And We've been working on an initiative that's, you know, just getting off the ground, but it's a collaborative with professor at Georgetown to try to address the issue of food deserts in the District of Columbia. In fact, in my exploration, I met Dr. Sabine O'Hara, who's written a book called Food Justice in American Cities. It's an extraordinary read. It talks about food deserts in throughout the United States. But just as to point out, we have some extraordinary talent right here at the University of District of Columbia. And kind of one of my pet projects is going to be working with causes to develop a public-private partnership to address the issue of food deserts in the District of Columbia. So with that, Mr. President, we'll turn it over to you, and we can move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And good evening again, everyone.
Good evening.
Good to see you all. I too will try to be brief as I can be, with my quarterly opportunity to share updates with my board. So I'd like to take advantage of those moments. And so what I'll do briefly is to share some highlights on our progress and milestones, talking about how our work connects to advancing the goals and priorities of our Delivering on the Promise strategic plan. And this presentation, as has been my practice, is presented as a supplement to the comprehensive written president's report that you receive as part of your briefing packets. And all of this work exemplifies how we as an institution turn potential into power every day for the students and the communities that we serve across the district. So I'll share some quick updates on strategic initiatives. First, a brief update on student housing. As the board and many in the room know, we have been working very closely with the UDC Foundation to advance a public-private partnership proposal. And I stress proposal, right, because this is not something that's certain until we get to the finish line, but we've made major progress to get to the point where the foundation has issued an RFQ that's currently out there with the March 16 deadline. This board has had an opportunity to engage in a briefing discussion. There's a representative from this board, Trustee Josh Lopez, will serve on the selection committee as part of the review process. So thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And we've been doing several briefings, and the photo highlighted there was one very impactful briefing session that we had with Chairman Mendelson to educate him about the project that we had back in January. So I just wanted to give a brief update on where we are. We're moving forward. Next steps are to convene the committee and to evaluate the RFQ responses in preparation to move to the RFP component of the process. All right, next I wanted to share, UDC has been provided an opportunity to join the Complete College America Accelerator Project, which is part of a much broader initiative funded by the Gates Foundation, $100 million initiative. And it's designed to improve student success outcomes at institutions. And so we're very fortunate to be one of the institutions across the country that was asked if we wanted to join. Of course, I said yes. And it's really going to help us with our internal assessment process, data-driven decision-making around student outcomes and a whole host of other best practices. UDC is currently in the onboarding phase where Complete College America and initiative is doing an assessment of the institution, and we're scheduling a campus visit soon. And so I'm really excited about this initiative, what it's going to do as part of our focus on student success. And to share the photo there, I had an opportunity to be on a president's panel at Complete College America's conference back in November with some of my fellow presidents from Morgan State, Howard, Community College, Virginia State, and the president of Complete College America. So stay tuned for more updates on this exciting initiative. Next, I want to share something new that Dr. Massey started. We got back to, or getting back to, a winter commencement ceremony. So she and her team launched the first in several years winter ceremony, where we had an opportunity to, you know, pause and recognize graduates of the summer and fall 2025 semester. So as you can see, there was a packed house, and you really appreciated the event when you got to talk to the graduates before and after. We had a nice reception, but they were so gracious and appreciative that they had an opportunity to participate in a ceremony, because many of them are not able to come back for the spring ceremony. And so it was very heartwarming and wonderful success. I want to give kudos to Dr. Massey for your vision and the work that you and your team did. It was fantastic. Thank you. So we've also been working very hard to, you know, implement and advance our enrollment growth approach. One of those strategies is to strengthen our K-12 engagement. And so working through the efforts of Dr. Littleberry, Dr. Tyus, we have been working to strengthen our partnership with the K-12 system. And so one of the things that they have done is to arrange presidential engagements with the principals. And so I had an opportunity recently to attend two different meetings of what the DCPS calls their cluster meetings. They group the presidents into different clusters. So spoke to a total of 21 principals from DCPS over the two meetings, but really gave an opportunity to reintroduce UDC to them, opportunity to share our vision, where we're going, what we're doing, and to talk about how we see UDC and DCPS foraging more impactful partnerships. And so it's just one of several strategies that that team has put in place, and I found it to be a very, very meaningful engagement. Got some good questions, but what was the best thing about it was it gave the leadership at those schools a firsthand opportunity to hear directly from me what we want to do with our relationships. And so it was very, very well received, and so we look forward to continuing those. And Dr. Littleberry, Dr. Tyus have a high school counselor brunch for March 20th on this campus, where what they've started doing is inviting the counselors to campus. And I think, is this the third one that we've done? Is the third? Okay, so this is going to be the third one, and wonderful events. And so we look forward to that. It's just another way that we're trying to build those relationships and expand the pipeline. I wanted to give a quick update on our CRM, right? So this is an initiative that the district has invested heavily in, a total of $8 million spread over 4 years in our capital budget. And there's been a lot of great work to implement this CRM, and a lot of people to acknowledge VP Byam and his team and OIT, phenomenal work, VP Tyus and her team, enrollment management, Dr. Littleberry overall in student development success. I don't want to keep naming people because I may forget. And their teams are really driving this work, but it's already starting to produce dividends, particularly with respect to recruiting and admissions and enhancing how we can communicate with students, and how we can track students and the quality of the service that we're delivering. And so we all are very excited about this project and the hard work that's been put into it, and the great progress that it's making. And again, this is another one of those strategies under the enrollment growth approach that we're taking. And so I wanted to circle back to this and acknowledge again our Honda Campus All-Star team. I want to start with their great, committed, dynamic leader, Mr. Dantzler. Are you still in the room? If you stand up, sir, he has taken on this role, done a fantastic job. So he took this role on a couple of years ago, And he's done a phenomenal job. I had a chance to see him and the team. If the rest, I think we still have a couple of team members here. If you all could stand up too, so we can acknowledge you again. Oh, I think they're outside for the great work. Last April. So they really wanted to acknowledge you all again. And they worked hard. Last year, the First Lady and I went out to California to root them on, and that was my first experience being there. And they fought real hard, but we didn't win. But then this year, Mr. Dantzler had the genius idea to try to get UDC to host a regional tournament. So that's how it ended up on our campus. I want to commend you, sir, for that. And so if you look on the slide there, what you'll see is we had, as Dr. Lilberry said, 8 HBCUs that were on our campus all day long. They got to see UDC, learn about UDC. We got to fellowship with their students. Hart fought. I got to see them fight a little bit. You can see, as Dr. Lilberry said, we were number 4. But look who was above us. If I'm going to lose to any schools, I would not have a problem with losing to one of the greatest universities in America, Fisk University. I was okay with that, Fisk University. And then our other two powerful, well-regarded sister institutions, Morehouse College and Howard University. And then there's just UDC. And it was really a strong competition from our team. And as Dr. Lilberry said earlier, we performed well enough, showed up strong enough that we got an invitation to be part of the, the Thrilling 32? The Thrilling 32. And so Dr. Littleberry, she forgot to mention, she's going to be in California. I'm going to be in California, and the First Lady's going to be in California. So we'll be back rooting you guys on, all right? And maybe this one will take home something with some metal on it. But kudos. And so we continue to work to advance our workforce innovation initiatives. And so I shared earlier that I would say a couple words about that. So one of the things that we did recently is we're leveraging the relationship that we have with one of our strong partners, Accenture. And so we, VP Bird and I, were in a meeting with them recently, a quarterly planning meeting around the DC Tech Hub. And at the end of the meeting, I asked the team, and Marty Rogers was there, if you know Marty's our major champion, right? I said, could you guys help us think through our strategy around workforce innovation and the Tech Hub and using that as a model? And they said, yes, not only can we help you, why don't y'all come back for a workshop? And less than 2 weeks later, they set up a workshop at their campus for us and spent 3 hours with us. They fed us. They had a professional facilitator. And they were in the room with us working, their team. And I told them, I said, we couldn't afford to pay you all what you charge for this kind of consultative engagement. But it speaks to the power of Accenture and Marty Rogers and their support for UDC. And it was very, very effective in terms of helping our team. So I just wanted to share that, and we got a lot of work that came out of that. And as you can see from the photo, I took the whole team. We were all there for that time. It was very wonderful. But it speaks to the partnership and support that we're getting from Accenture. Some of you obviously have heard of this great news, and I want to really pause on this. This is a big deal. UDC got allocated $6.2 million from Congress through the community project initiatives. But it was something that was championed by Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton. She believed in our vision and she ran with it. And so I want to commend her. Also, this stuff doesn't happen easily. You know, when I say it's a big deal, one of the things I mean is in that federal budget, UDC got $6.2 million. If you looked at the rest of the list, that's a huge, huge. Two, had a lot of support. The person who was the lead, who took this thing going back 2 years ago, and developed the plan, as you can see, took me to meet with Congresswoman Holmes Norton, took me down to Capitol Hill. You see a photo of me, Annie, and Senator Van Halen from Maryland. She worked that thing, and that would be VP Annie Wiley. And I want to give her her flowers here because she made it happen. This stuff doesn't happen just because somebody wakes up and feels good about writing a check. It happened from beating the pavement, leveraging your relationships, your networks, and facilitating buy-in for UDC's mission and the vision under our strategic plan. So I wanted to really thank you, Andy, for what you did. And she's so good. She's already submitted another proposal for this year's cycle of, what, $11 million? Almost. Yeah. So she's going after that money. This we haven't even got this check, and she's going after the next round. So kudos. That's outstanding. Great work. Yes. And really great. And the funding is aligned with our strategic plan goal to enhance our infrastructure, right? So if we build out the infrastructure to support teaching, research, workforce, right, we continue to grow to become that world-class leading national public urban university. So we made this a priority, and this is what it looks like when we're successful.
President, I just want to point out that we had an awesome team both years. Well, somewhat of a team the year before, but Raisa and I really were like two peas in a pod the last one we got. So I wouldn't want to.
Yeah. Rising their grade.
Raisa.
Thank you.
And this year we were fortunate that we really had an awesome real team. We had Dr. Hamilton, Dean Gilmore, myself, and of course, Raisa again, and Maria Bird. We worked that together. They delivered on time. We submitted on time, and the staff, Congresswoman Norton's staff, complimented on us that we had one of the best applications of all the applications that they received.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. All right. All right. Next, so I've shared previously that we had launched under the strategic plan a major effort to improve the quality of service delivery. It's called our Service Excellence Initiative, and that initiative continues to move forward. Two recent advancements, we installed these kiosks around our campuses. So this allows our stakeholders, after they go to an office, they can come out, punch a couple buttons, and share their perceptions of the quality of service. And so that's going to be very helpful, real-time data. And then we just launched a survey, a customer service survey. And so we've enlisted some students there in that bottom photo to help us get the word out and to get people to complete the survey. We've got 506, I think, completed thus far. And so we're going to use the results of the survey to shape our action plan moving forward. So we'll continue to keep the board updated, but I think that's going to play a major role in just helping us to achieve this top shelf service is what we're shooting for. And we want to commend Patrick Gussman, major leader, VP CEO, the drive in this work. So kudos to y'all for the great job you're doing there. Well done. All right. And now I want to talk about alumni engagement just quickly. Appreciative of the dynamic trustees that we have on the board, our alums, Trustee Grayson, Trustee Jackson, Trustee Lopez, and Dr. Lucas worked with the National Alumni Society back in December and set up a strategic planning session. So we spent some time sitting down with NAS and chopping it up, right? Talking about where does NAS want to go? How can the university better support NAS, aligning our approaches and the shared goals, and coming up with, I think, some good talking points and action steps to really not just strengthen the relationship, but to better position the university to support NAS in its mission. And so we're going to build on that work. So I just want to again commend Trustee Grayson and Trustee Jackson, who are there in the photo, for your support and really driving that and ensuring that we had a very productive session. So thank you all. Okay. So also, you know, as we work to really build our alumni relations, we have a focus also on DC Teachers College alums, right? As many of you know, there's a large alumni base, and they're organized and have events. And so I try to go, and Dr. Lucas is where we go to those events. And so we go to their annual fall scholarship gala, and we went in December, had an opportunity to share some words. But what I emphasized to them were two things. One, we want to have a stronger relationship, bring you all back into the UDC fold. And two, we want to figure out how can we increase your philanthropic support for UDC. And so they were amenable to that. They annually allocate some scholarships. So I think I got some movement on them considering to guarantee at least one to UDC. And so we're going to continue to work with them on forge that relationship. So I just wanted to share those efforts under the strategic plan focus on alumni engagement. And then, you know, partnerships and regional engagement. So I've shared this because, you know, as many of you know, I was not able to attend the Academic and Student Affairs Committee meeting that was just held March 3rd. But the reason that I missed it is because Ted Leonsis invited the presidents in the Washington Consortium to an evening event, dinner event, engagement. And, you know, I told you all before, anytime there's a meeting with university presidents, I want UDC to be in the room. So I try not to miss those opportunities. And then it turns out the mayor was there too. And it was really a set of conversations centered around college access. So DC CAP, Eric Waldo was there. And so we have an ongoing conversation about how can UDC become a member of DC CAP. But it was really good engagement opportunity. And we look at the people who spoke that evening, Ted Leonsis, the mayor, Eric Waldo. Do you know all those presidents in the room, all the local presidents, George Washington, American Catholic, George Mason, Gallaudet, the university that was mentioned the most out of their mouths was this one. That mouth, yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah. So that's a good thing, right? You know, so I had a wonderful time. So I'll continue to be very aggressive and visible around the city in the region. But now and last, and this is getting to the end, I did want to end in the spotlight on UDC 175 and a wonderful series of events that we've had recently. And so we had this magical couple of days, right, at the end of February. It started on a Thursday. Dr. Massey and her team put together a fantastic Founders Day celebration. Every year since she's been in the role, she's taken it to another level. The first year, she said, okay, this is how we do it. Okay, next year she came back and took it to a higher level. Yeah, this year she took it so far. Not only did she enhance the program, but she added campus tours, right? So she got all of the deans in their units to set up a set of nice receptions and then tours of their areas. I mean, it was wonderful, very, very well done. And so we just had an opportunity to celebrate many of our stakeholders. We celebrated students, we celebrated staff, we celebrated faculty, we celebrated alums, we celebrated a major change maker in the district, Ms. Beverly Perry. Acknowledge all that she's done. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful, magical day. And you can see Eliza, you're there. She got acknowledged for her great work that she does. So fantastic. I just again want to give kudos to Dr. Massey for your vision and leadership. Very well done. But then that was Thursday, and that was a wonderful day. But then Friday came, and it's not shared here. So also that morning, I had a chance to go on the Channel 9 News, CBS, and give an interview about UDC 175. And I had a wonderful time. But it was another opportunity to showcase the university, showcase our history. And then that led into that evening in this gala. And the thing about the gala that I have really tried to commend and acknowledge Dr. Lucas on is it turned out very well, but it was a lot of hard work. And that man had a lot of stress on his head for the last 6 months. He handled it well. There was a lot of pressure for him to deliver. And he did it, as we'll see. But before we look at specifics, I also want to highlight and thank two members of this board, particularly the two people from day one who said, Dr. Eddington. Well, one said, Dr. Eddington, you need to have a gala. And then the other one said, Dr. Eddington, you need to have a gala. And it was Dr. Rudd and Trustee Akins, going back 2 years ago, right? And when we didn't know how to do it, didn't have money. And the next thing we know, Pepco stepped up, Trustee Akins, with some money to help us launch this thing. We started with our sponsor reception we had right last year, and it led up to this. But I just wanted to come in and thank you all, Dr. Trustee Akins, and of course, Mr. Chair was there pushing and driving, supporting. And then, so we had this event. And so the event ended up being a major success. We had set, Dr. Lucas, what, $1 million goal, and the number came in above 1.4 million, right, funds that were committed. We had major philanthropic support from the corporate sector. That was nice to see, and it really speaks to this thing I call alignment. And when you have alignment from at a university from the government level, meaning policy lawmakers, to the level of the governing board, to the level of the university administration, you can move mountains and make things happen in ways that you can't do without alignment, right? And so we are operating under alignment right now. And so you can galvanize people, this board and the board members, you all brought people to the table and they ponied up financial support and they came, right? So you all should be thanked and commended as a board because you guys were all in. I know, Mr. Chair, you out there working, and others, I saw y'all working. People would say, oh yeah, so-and-so told me I better donate. I know somebody told me, Josh said I better give some money, and they gave some money, right? So thank you for that, everybody. It was a wonderful success. And I want to thank the members of the planning committee. We had, of course, Richard and the First Lady were event hosts. We had Rodney Trapp, Denise Slaughter, Loring Benning Williams, Valerie Taylor, Percy Henry, Annie Watley, Lee Brian Reba, Frenica Rivers, Grady Wright, and then our event planner or coordinator, Anthony Rodell, who was amazing, him and his company. They supported us externally in event planning, and it was a fantastic event. And I do want to share a few photos so we can all relive the moment. But first, Richard.
Mr. President, can we ask them to stand?
No, we ask them to stand. I want you to stand because I tell them all the time, you don't get many moments to get your flowers. So thank you for your vision. Because he knows everybody didn't want him to do it. Not me, but everybody wasn't on board. I was on board. So he had to fight through and stick to his vision that he thought that this could be successful. So that should be acknowledged, sir, but go ahead.
I just want to make sure the members of the planning committee are recognized. Members of the planning committee that are here, please stand to be recognized.
Thank you. And so just a few quick highlights, then I'll be done, Mr. Chair. I couldn't end the presentation without sharing some of the photos from the night, particularly for those who were not there, because it was magical. It was a magical moment. As you can see, we had our chair and vice chair giving some wonderful comments. We had our event chairs, right? Dr. Lucas, First Lady Tanya there, guiding the program. We had the mayor, who was a speaker, and we also honored her. We had Chairman Mendelson there, right, who spoke. We had Doug Furstenberg, the chair of our foundation board, was there, and he spoke. And we had representatives from the White House. The White House was there and spoke. We had our partners, Link Strategic Partners, who were backing us up behind the scenes with logistical support, supporting the planning and the PR for this event, as they always do for us. We had Leslie Foster, local personality, who put out a social media post that got a lot of attention out there. She was just touting us, highlighting UDC and some of our initiatives. We had political representation. Now, this is not a political statement. That's just what the picture looked like. That's who showed up when the picture was taken. That's all that is. And of course, had other representatives, had a foundation board member, Brandon Todd, former trustee, General Schwartz, was there. Our faculty leaders were there. And then we got a lot of money. Consus committed to $750,000. Care First, who's a new partner, they're so excited. They just came on the scene, like recently. Like, we recently started talking to them. Ricardo Johnson, fantastic. They came, they committed, and then on the stage, for those that weren't there, the initial players was $75,000. And then they surprised us on the stage, increased it by $100,000 to $175,000. So that was exciting to see. And then we honored the mayor for her contributions and support for UDC, other honorees, and you'll recognize a former trustee Shelton there, one of our awardees. And then Marty Rogers, Accenture, a major, major supporter. And then we had a packed house, as you can see. It was packed. We didn't have enough seats for everybody. Then we just had a good time, you know, just run these law school students who had a good time entertaining me. Some people were dancing. Some danced the night away. Yeah. Well, you're going to see you in a minute. I had to capture that. I want to thank Trustee Jackson, Dr. Jackson, for keeping our chairman entertained night long on the dance floor. Well done, well done. There you go. Students were there, student leaders had a great time. We had representatives from DC agencies, sister agencies. I mean, the whole city came out. The whole city came out. And Trustee Akins, I couldn't leave without showing you out there holding up your gang signs on the photo there. But you look good doing this. Mr. Chair, that concludes my report. And again, we had a wonderful time.
Excellent.
Any questions or comments on the president's report? Excellent report. Thank you. Encouraging.
Okay, now we're going to move quickly. We're now at the committee reports. Executive Committee has already reported out on the resolution. Committee of the Whole, nothing there. Academic and Student Affairs, I believe Dr. Barazzoni had to leave early, so we'll move forward. We've already addressed matters in that committee. Audit, Budget, and Finance, Grossinger.
There is no action items to report out on, so I'll pass it back to you.
And finally, operations?
No additional report.
No additional report. So the last items are, let me just explain, our task forces that I created basically as working groups to have an extra pair of hands, and each task force will have co-chairs. And they're still being sort of stood up and taking form. But let me just read through what those task force are, and if anyone has something to report out, they can do it at this time. Student Success Task Force, Institutional Development Task Force, Alumni Affairs Task Force, Student Communications Task Force, DCMR Revisions Task Force, Real Estate Procurement Task Force, and Public Education Strategy and Systems Alignment Task Force. Dr. Jackson, yes, you're recognized.
Thank you. So we would like to report for both the Institutional Development and Alumni Affairs. I think they merged together, and we did get an opportunity to be able to meet. Talking about the Alumni Trustee report, we choose to, we're strengthening alumni engagement through enhancement of institutional advancement and to create a sustainable pathway for our alumni involvement and giving. In the past, you've heard about the listening tour. We're looking forward to doing more of those. We're seeking to hear the voices from former alumni trustees so we can have that institutional knowledge. We are also seeking, and we work with the Office of the Institute of Advancement to develop a survey so we can help identify alumni, starting with our UDC family. And we're also working with the National Alumni Society to bring them closer and to look at ways that we can work together. And we are extremely excited, hopefully, to have an opportunity to have the celebration of our 175th, where more students, staff, faculty, alumni, and community members can attend. And we're also working with that Office of Advancement to have that included. My co-chair says that that's all we're going to do for that report. And while I have the mic, I also wanted to report that the DCMR Provision Task Force also submitted information to get additional review and input. And I'd also like to ask my colleague, did he want to add any additional information? That seems like those two reports are now completed and ready for submission.
Thank you, Dr. Jackson. And thank you for being the power of example. I create this task force, as I said, to be working groups and have an extra pair of hands on the subject matters that impact this university. So I encourage all of you, co-chairs, and you all know who you are because everybody's is one, to please roll up your sleeves, get to work, collaborate with your colleagues, and let's continue to put fuel in the tank so that we can accelerate all the good work that's taking place at the University of District of Columbia. So with that, is there any unfinished business? There being none? Any new business? There being none? No closing remarks except to say thank you all for coming out tonight and kind of suffering through a heated environment, but thank you all for all the good work that you do. Good night. Yeah, well, I got to make a motion to adjourn. I'm sorry. do I have a motion to Ken Grossner? Motion to adjourn. A second. Lamont Akins. I assume there's no discussion. All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? We're out of here, y'all.